Hi, I'm Teresa Romer, a lifestyle entrepreneur, fashion designer, and author. My manager and show producer, Paula Conway, is joining me today, and we're going to have some fun, and we're going to share some really great business stories on partnership breakups and what it really, really feels like when an employee leaves you that you've put a lot of hard work and time into. Paula, are you joining us yet? Okay, it doesn't sound like Paula's here yet, but, you know, this is something that's happened to me personally, and I'd love to share my thoughts and ideas on it, because, you know, when you put a lot of time into a partnership with a colleague, or when you also put a lot of time in with an employee, and then suddenly and abruptly they leave you, it sets you into a tailspin, quite honestly. And I've had this happen to me personally. When a business partnership ends, whether you walk away or your partner does the walking, you know, how do you really recover from that? You know, it, a lot of times it's like a death or a divorce. I personally have a great story, one that took me years to recover from. I had a business partner. We actually started out as friends. Great friends, as a matter of fact, and such great friends that we were like inseparable. We were like yin and yang, and you know, we were the first ones we called each other in the morning. We talked to each other last at night. We were just best friends. And she asked me one day if I wanted to become a partner with her and start a business. And we talked it over, and sure enough, we set forth and we wrote a book together and we invented a few things together, and life was going along great. I mean, we were just working day and night, 16 hours a day, having so much fun. We took vacations together. We did everything together. I mean, she was my best friend at the time, you know, just totally inseparable. And then not only my best friend, but my business partner. And we were just, you know, somebody saw me, she was with me. If somebody saw her, I was with her. I mean, like, we were just totally inseparable. And everything was going along great, and we finally launched our book, and we had this huge, huge book launching, and everything was just fabulous. I mean, we couldn't have felt any better. And then I went off the following month and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, and, you know, for a fundraising effort and everything, and life was great. And I came back, and I was a little changed from that climbing. You know, it changes your world when you're over in Africa. And so when I got back, she said, "Wow, you've changed, Teresa. I think you've changed." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've changed. I mean, I've stared poverty in the face, you know, so and practically almost died on that mountain also." And so, yeah, she's like, "Well, you've just changed." And I'm like, "Yeah, I have, you know." And so life went on. And about a month later, I received this phone call. And she says, "You know, do you know how much inventory is sitting in our warehouse?" And I said, "Well, I don't know the exact numbers because I'm in a very important meeting." And I said, I can get you those numbers as soon as I come out of this meeting." And she says, "Oh, that's okay. I'll just deal with it myself." And I said, "Well, what can I help you with anything? I'm, you know." And she's like, "Well, I'm just going to take half the inventory." And I said, "What? You can't just take half the inventory. It doesn't belong to you." And she said, "It does belong to me. You know, I'm partner too." And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. I know you're half partner and I'm half partner, but, you know, we put the money into this company together. You don't own it. The company owns it." And I went into a tailspin, and I couldn't do anything because I'm in this very important meeting. And sure enough, as soon as I get out of this meeting, I race to the warehouse, and lo and behold, she's taken half of everything.
Teresa, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm here. I was hearing you the whole time. I don't understand why, but I couldn't get through. I just still don't understand where that came from. How does somebody just think that they're going to take half of the inventory? That doesn't even make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
That's why
it put me into a tailspin, because I was like, how, what are you doing? I mean, like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, she just totally came out of nowhere. I had no idea anything was wrong. Like I said, we were best friends. We were partners. I mean, I couldn't get it. I was like, what the hell happened here? You know, what's going on? I was totally taken by surprise.
And
totally.
There was nothing that had happened up to this that led you to thinking that she was in some way unhappy with the partnership?
Nothing ever came about where I thought she was unhappy with the partnership. I know she was struggling financially to, you know, do her part. And I just thought, you know, no big deal. I'll just, you know, I'll cover all the bases and, you know, we'll work things out later on, whatever. You know, I'm not one to say anything just because she couldn't put her part
sure.
in half the time. So I basically was just like, well, you know, you're having a little hardship with money. No big deal. I'll just cover it. You know, we'll work it out later. You know, so I was totally taken by surprise. And you would think, being best friends, that you would share everything in life. But when all the dust cleared, I really found out that, you know, when I'm a best friend with someone, I share everything, good, bad, or indifferent. Well, she didn't. Pretty much only shared good things with me. So I was very unaware of what was happening in her personal life, which was a lot to do with why she ended up taking half of everything.
So in so many ways, it was very much a situation where, and I think this has all happened to all of us at some point in our life, you really thought you knew her, you really thought you knew the partnership, and yet it wasn't really what you thought it was, and there was obviously a huge part of her that you didn't know.
Exactly, exactly. You know, like I said, instead of her sharing the good, bad, and the indifferent, she pretty much just shared with me the good, and it left me in a complete state of smoke and mirrors, basically, because I thought I knew everything about her and everything, and yet she drastically was holding a lot of secrets from me, which if I would have known those secrets, you know, I wouldn't have been caught by surprise, and maybe I could have actually mm-hmm. helped her in a different way instead of things going down the route that they went down.
So did she end up taking inventory? Did she just take
yes,
it?
Yes, yep, she took half of everything, and, you know, I had to hire a lawyer, not to protect me personally, but to protect the company, because I did not know where that inventory was going to go. I didn't know if it was going to end up on eBay. I didn't know if she was going to be selling it on a street corner. You know, she gave me no indication of what she was going to do with it. She just felt like it was half hers, and she was taking it. And so... you know, the tune of $40,000 later, you know, hiring lawyers and trying to protect everything, you know, everything got protected, and I went forward for a few months in a sense of a fog. I mean, like I like I said, it was like a divorce, or it was like a death. I mean, I just didn't know. I thought, wow, it's, you know, how do I go on without my business partner, my best friend? I just felt like I was devastated. And
was
and
she
for
just
a couple
not
months,
returning phone calls? Was she not responding to you? Just nothing? Silence?
No, complete silence. And I didn't know what I did wrong. I was like, what did I do wrong? I mean, like, why is this happening? You know? I mean, this was our dream. We were living our dream. We were so happy. And to my unbeknownst to me, you know, she was going through all of this hardship with her marriage and all kinds of stuff, which I didn't know. So like I said, if she would have opened up and shared that with me, maybe I could have understood everything a little better. But without knowing any of that, you know, you're just left in this fog going, wow, what do I do next?
Well, and if she had shared all of that with you and come clean on what was really happening, you also could have worked through it instead of things shaking out this way. It just makes you wonder, like, why did somebody choose that path?
Right, right. You know, and just when you think you know someone, do you really know someone?
Mm-hmm. True. Exactly.
And you know, it took me a few months, and finally it took my lawyer to say, Teresa Romer, you're a big girl. You've been through worse things than this. You need to pull your big girl panties on and go forward by yourself and recreate yourself. And lo and behold, I thought to myself, you're right. I mean, I've been through many, many, many hardships, and I've always been able to pulled myself up with my bootstraps and go on. And I thought, this is no different. This is no different, you know. And I'm sure that's how people feel, you know, from divorces and whatnot. You know, after so many years of a marriage, you know, you're thinking, how do I go on without my spouse, you know. But you do, you know. And so, like I said, I buried my son in 2006, so I definitely know what it's like to have to recover from a death. So I thought to myself, you're right. You know, I've recovered from my son's death. I recovered from climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and almost dying. So this was really nothing, even though it was hard.
In the moment,
I had to look at it like, this is nothing. You're going to just go reinvent yourself and go forward on your own. You're a big girl. You can do it.
But in that moment, like you said, it's a relationship that you've committed to. And in that moment, it just hurts. It's just that empty feeling and that moment, which lasted for a week, you know, of what just happened. How did I get here? You know, why am I at odds with this person now that I had poured so much hope and excitement and love, you know, into? And it's like any relationship, it just, you know, it breaks down and everybody's in pain.
Right, right. But there was even bigger fallout from this, because we were actually, both of us were friends with all the same people within our community and our country. And so not only did I lose my business partner and my best friend, I started losing what I thought was my friends right and left. And I was like, wow. This is like a divorce, you know, because sometimes when you get divorced, people pick sides of who they want to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And suddenly I was like, wow, these people maybe weren't even my friends to begin with. They were all maybe Kim's friends. And then, you know, because we became friends and we became business partners, they were like, oh, okay, we'll be friends with Teresa too. But they totally, totally defriended me. I mean, like... So that's what I'm saying when I say that I became very depressed. Not only did I lose my best friend and my business partner, but I started losing what I thought were all of these friends in my community too.
Wow.
So now you're just feeling like you're all alone, you know, and I'm like, why are all these people defriending me? I haven't done anything wrong. She's the one that walked away from me.
It's revealing too, isn't it? Because
yes.
You had to have looked at these people now in a whole different light, because you're seeing them. You're seeing who they really are, because if that happens, then it's, you know, it's kind of high schoolish, right? Like, oh, sorry, I'm taking her side. And you live with them. They're in your community. You see them. You golf with them. You see them at lunch, whatever. And now they're suddenly saying, what? I'm on Kim's side. It's just crazy.
Right. I mean, you know, and it took my husband one night after a neighborhood event, and we were at the neighborhood event, and we were walking home from that event because it wasn't too far from our house and, you know, a couple houses. And my husband said, wow, I am completely surprised at how those women treated you tonight. And I said, oh, my God, you saw that? And he said, yes. And I said, yeah, well, that's how I've been, you know, that's how I've been getting treated, you know, since the split up. And he said, you know what? These women are going to have to see you every day, because you're not ever leaving this community, because we're going to live here, you know, till we die or whatever. But she is moving out because she ended up getting divorced and everything. But he said, you know, these are women you're going to have to see every single day, Teresa. And all you need to do is hold your head high, because you've not done anything wrong. The cream always rises to the top. The truth will be known, come sooner or later. Even if they're not looking at the truth right now, sooner or later it's going to stare them in the face. And you just have to hold your head high and know that you've not done anything wrong. And if these people ever want to be your friend, then fine. But if not, no harm. You know, they weren't your friends to begin with.
Right. Exactly. Amazing that he saw it. That he saw it unfold. Yeah. They weren't. That is true.
But, you know, we've had this conversation many times, and you've shared with me that you had something similar happen to you. Can you share your story?
Did. Yeah, it was very similar in the sense that, you know, just like your situation, we were both best friends and business partners, and there's something to be said for the dangers in that, you know, looking back. We were best friends, we were business partners, and I wrote a best-selling book in 2006, and the co-author of the book, who I lovingly like to refer to as the faux author, was also my business partner.
Love
it's absolutely
that title.
100% true, by the way. Not that I'm bitter or anything. Anyway,
no, it doesn't sound like it at all.
No, but was a former business partner, and over several years, you know, it just sort of didn't happen overnight, but I wanted to change the terms of the relationship. It was really as simple as that, because there was no way that we could move forward where we were, and you can't fake these feelings, you know, and I wasn't going to, because there was way, way too much on the line here. And she couldn't get her head around it. It's as simple as that. So she took me to court, and it dragged out for about 4 years, and it was a living hell. And the entire time that this was sort of unfolding, and when I was really in it and I realized where we were, I kept thinking, I can't believe this is happening. How did this happen? Why did this happen? You know, and we are all responsible. You know, I made mistakes. She made mistakes. And we're all responsible for those little steps and moves that we make along the way. So I definitely don't feel like, oh, I'm so innocent. You know, absolutely not. You know, I made mistakes as well. But when I look back on it as well, and I think about, there were signs, and there always are. And when we love somebody, we just turn our head. We say, well, that's not what that means. Or we kind of bury them. And people in our daily lives that we work with and that we live with, you know, they always tell you who you are and who they are.
Right, right.
That's what I meant, who they are. They tell you, but you don't necessarily connect that dot to, okay, so how's this going to affect me in this business situation, or how's this going to affect me long term, or what does this mean in terms of this friend? And I think for all of us, particularly if you're in business, you really have to stop and take note and put that file somewhere and understand that that person just showed you who they are. They did, by this small thing that they said, or an action that they took, or, you know, you had talked about there were signs with your former business partner, little ones, of an extravagant lifestyle that didn't quite add up to you exactly, that there was something about it that didn't, you know what I mean? And you loved her, so you didn't do anything about it.
Right,
and not
right.
That there's anything you could do, but
right.
It did tell you something.
Right, and like you said, you know, a lot of times when you love someone or care for someone so much, even though there's warning signs, you tend to overlook them and think, oh, that's not really that. You know, I mean, it's the same as a husband, you know, or a boyfriend. You're trying to make
right.
a relationship work so hard that even though there's little warning signs, you're willing to look over them and ignore them because you want that relationship to work so badly. And I think that's what happened with my business relationship with her, is I was putting in 150% of myself, and I was trying to make this work so much that I was willing to overlook some of the little telltale signs that were happening all around me. You know, like when we'd do cash call every month and she couldn't put her part of the money in, I'd be like, okay, it's okay. I'll cover everything this month, you know, and those were telltale signs, you know?
Right.
You know, so you're right. I mean, you know, maybe we didn't go into it looking at it in the right way. Maybe just because I had a business plan, she didn't.
Yeah.
And maybe because I went into it knowing I had this much in the bank to apply towards this business, she didn't necessarily. You know, we never discussed that because, my gosh, we're friends. You know.
Right.
We're friends. We're going to trust each other, you know. So, you know, the lesson there is that, you know, maybe we should have had a better contract. Maybe we should have had a better business plan. You know, maybe I think what happened is I let my friendship run the business instead of us running it like a business. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's the key. You know, that the friendship versus the business and the contracts is really key, because I made a similar, but I think now that I look back, a more egregious error in that I was given a contract. She gave me a contract that was a bad contract. And my husband, and so this just shows how we make dumb decisions and we don't listen to, we don't follow our instincts and we don't listen to wiser people around us. And my husband told me not to sign it. He wanted to make very specific changes to it. And he said, don't do it. And I was younger and I had at the time this enormous ego and I was ego driven and I was so excited. And I admit all these things because now I get it. Now I get what drove me. All the wrong things were driving me. Didn't even listen to my husband. Very well-known, nationally sought-after intellectual property attorney. Didn't listen to him. Now, how stupid is that? But see, that's just it. We do make dumb mistakes in business. We make them. And honestly, now that I look back and I realize the pain and suffering that was caused all the way around from that, I've learned so much from this horrific experience, as have you, that we will make other mistakes again, which is what makes us better and more perfect, right? But I'm not
right.
going to make those mistakes because now right. I understand the value of managing the relationship and how you keep it healthy. And healthy is the key word. You can be friends with somebody. You can be in business with them. You can be a partner with them. You can have projects with them. But how you manage it is something you have to take responsibility for.
Very, very true. You know, and it's the same empty feeling when someone leaves your company. Like when you have a staff member, you know, that you've invested a lot
yes.
of time and energy into and, you know, they just up and leave. I mean, like just recently I had a staff member up and leave me and mm-hmm. I could not believe it because just a few months prior I had asked him, are you on 100%? Are you on board 100%? I need to know that you're on board 100% because we're moving very fast right now, and I need to know that you're on board 100% because if you're not, then I need to look for somebody else. Oh, no, I'm on 100%, no problem, yeah. And then out of the blue, he just ups and tells me, oh, I'm quitting. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've invested 7 years in you. What?
Wow.
You just told me you were
100%
on board. What? Excuse me? You know? And it's the same thing. It's kind of like, what the heck? Once again, you go through that hurt again. You're like, wow.
It's the when you use the word investment, and I don't think most people will ever really understand or rather admit this to themselves, but it is ego, and I'm not ashamed to say it because whenever someone has left my company for right or wrong reasons, you know. It's my ego that's bruised. It's that I trained them and I put so much time into them and time, energy, effort, money, you know, the whole thing. And I think, well, why would you want to leave me? But it's not that, you know, and I think that's the key to anyone listening in who hasn't had this happen to them yet or it has happened and they haven't been able to get past it is that decision is entirely about them and their need for growth, and in some cases, it just isn't what they want to be doing professionally. They could change. It may have been a stopgap for them, and they may or may not have shared it with you. They can change personally, or they have outgrown it. And you know, we had this sounds so silly, you know, on a smaller scale, but it didn't hurt any less. We had an intern that was working for us, and she was just fabulous. I mean, just fabulous, and. She wanted to leave to go work for Disney. Well, of course, any young college kid who the Disney internships are so difficult to get and so highly coveted. Of course, she's going to want to go take the Disney internship. Of course, she is. But I was so upset about it. I thought, why would you want to leave Astonish for Disney? Well, what a silly thing for me to think. Yes, my company's amazing. Yes, they've actually been a client of ours for many, many years. But I'm not Walt Disney. I don't offer the same zippity-doo-dah. And, of course, she's got to move on and go do that. But it's personal, you know. People say, you know, business is never personal. I'm sorry, I disagree. It's all personal. We all take things personally. It's all personal. And people want to be in business with us if they like us. And if they don't, they don't. So,
right.
You know, you know what I mean? You really have to look at it all the way around and realize what's actually happening.
Right. I've always been one of those employers that says, you know, I will never stand in the way of someone's growth and happiness, you know, for God's sake. But I think
Correct.
What hurt the most was I felt like I'd been lied to because truly he wasn't on board 100%. Truly,
True.
He was out there doing job interviews behind my back when he was telling me he was on board 100%. So I think it was the betrayal or the fact that I have felt like I've been lied to, you know. And
yeah.
I think that's what hurt the most out of all of it was like, wow, you weren't even honest with me, and I was trusting you, you know.
Well, that is true, and that is fair, and likely that is exactly what was happening, and that's a tough bullet to chew on when you know in your truth, and your truth is telling you, and obviously you do know, you know, because you know this person, and you know how this person operates, that this is what was going down, and could they have just been honest with you? And it stings when people don't act appropriately in business. Because there was no reason that this person who left you obviously felt that he needed to be to deceive you in some way, when likely he just didn't. It just wasn't necessary.
Right.
But there was something.
And you
in
know,
him
and
that
once again, there were probably some telltale signs. Now that I look back, that probably were telling me that he was going to move on, but I probably didn't want to notice it. You know.
Right. Well, but that's something, that's a good lesson learned, and that's a good lesson for other people to pay attention to the little things and to have, Teresa, you always say this, what's plan B? You know?
Exactly.
To always think about the plan B. The plan B
right.
could be a conversation you have with somebody, but have that plan B. What's plan
right.
B? You always say that. And you're absolutely
And
right.
I'm very famous for saying don't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, I always have plan A, B, C, and D.
Yep, you do. That's just it. You do. You
right.
do. But
and as bad as it hurt for him to leave, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be okay.
Right.
I'm going
right.
to be okay.
Of course.
You know,
course
everyone's
you
replaceable in life, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we look at it in the big scheme, you know, everyone is replaceable. You know, no one has a certain position forever. I mean, everybody comes and goes, you know. But like I said, you know, you put a lot of time and you invest a lot of time and money and effort into someone. It's hard to have them walk away. But, you know, maybe the job just wasn't really meant for him in the long run, or maybe he just
yes.
outgrew it. It was time for him to go do something else. You know, it's you can't hold grudges, and you have to move forward.
I think it also takes a great level of skill, and some companies really have it down, to just know how to hire and how to choose the right people and what those, you know, it's really quite of a fascinating art. Like, what is the art to understanding someone's place in your company, their longevity, their ability to sustain, what their behavior is likened to, like, what do they tend to do? I can't say I'm a master at it, but I've gotten better at it, you know, and I think that's part of that growing process, particularly when you have a small business, is figuring out what to look for in talent and what types of things show you this is a solid hire, this is going to be a solid employee, and here's why, and a good fit for my company. And I can't say that, you know, I'm an expert at it, but I've gotten better at it, and you have too. And all of these things do make us better at it, because we kind of get that feeling from that person, and if we see certain signs in the future, we'll know, this is probably not going to be a good fit.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, what a great topic we've talked on today. I'm, you know, it's always interesting to have these topics and find out other people have gone through the same thing, and you're not out there alone going through this. You know, just all you have to do is share your story, and lo and behold, you find out there's other people that have gone through something very, very similar.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
It is. These are great topics, and they're evergreen. And if you have a small business and you run your own company, you will always be faced with challenges like this.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know what? Thank you for joining us on this really, really beautiful Saturday afternoon from wherever you are in this world. You will be able to listen to my show starting September 10th. Yes, that's next week. On Lifestyle Talk Radio on AM stations around the country at 11 a.m. Central, 12 o'clock Eastern Time, and through biztalkradio.com. Join me next week right here for another exciting, and I'm telling you, exciting show. And follow me on Twitter at Teresa Romer, and Instagram at Teresa Romer, and on Facebook at Teresa Romer LLC. And I hope every one of you has an amazing rest of the weekend. It is Labor Day weekend, so I hope you all have a great weekend. And thank you again, Paula, for helping me with this amazing topic today.
Thank you so much, and everybody, a great Labor Day weekend.
Great. Bye-bye.